إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله we continue the sharh of العقيدة الواسطية written by شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية الحراني الدمشقي رحمه الله تعالى. In the last class we talked about the Quran being the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it was not created, or we say it is not one of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the aqidah of Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Why some people of innovation like the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiyyah generally, the Mu'tazila being part of them, the Asha'ira being part of them, they did not see the Quran as the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, they saw it as the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Asha'ira, who said he believed the Quran is Kalamullah, he said what the Kalam that they believe in is Kalamun Nafsani. That is what is inside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just passed the message maybe to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or Jibreel. So the wordings are the wordings of Jibreel, the wordings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the meaning is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the stand of the Asha'ira, who said this is what? It's not different from what the Mu'tazila are saying. The Mu'tazila, they believe that the Quran is not the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we'll be looking at another topic from the book Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. وقد دخل أيضا فيما ذكرناه من الإيمان به وبكتبه وبملائكته وبرسله. Also part of what you have mentioned concerning الإيمان به, having believed in Allah, وبكتبه, having believed in the books of Allah, وبملائكته, having believed in the angels of Allah, وَبِي رُسُولِي, having believed in the prophets or the messengers of Allah. Part of this الايمان بان المؤمنين يرونه يوم القيامه. So how believe that the believers يرونه يوم القيامه, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of qiyamah. عيانا بأبصارهم, عيانا بأبصارهم, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their naked eyes. كما يرون الشمس صحوا ليس دون آفحاب, the way they will see the sun صحوا, that is when there is no cloud, ليس دون آفحاب, no cloud. But when there is cloud, the cloud is covering the sun, one may not be able to see the sun. But when there is no cloud covering the sun will be apparent, will be clear to the people, they will be able to see the sun. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam studies in a lot of ahadith, that is the saying of the believers of their creator, their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a part of this belief, believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His angels, His books, His messengers, is to have belief that the believers, يَرَوْنَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, they will see Allah on the day of Qiyamah, عِيَانًا بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ, they will see Him with their naked eyes, كَمَا يَرَوْنَ الشَّمْسَ صَحْوًا, the way they see الشَّمْسَ صَحْوًا, they see the sun صَحْوًا, when it is clear, لَيْسَ دُونَهَا صَحَابٌ, when there is no cloud. وَكَمَا يَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ, and the way they will see the moon لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ, when the moon is at its fullest, the way they will see the moon in a moonlit night, the way they will see the moon, لَا يُضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ, they will not have any trouble in seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَرَوْنَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ فِي عَرَصَاتِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and this will be at the courtyard of al-qiyamah. ثُمَّ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعْدَ دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ, then after they have entered al-jannah, they will also see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَمَا يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, the way Allah wills. This, as brief as it is the aqidah of Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world, nobody can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the state of wakefulness, this is not possible. For anybody to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of wakefulness, this is not possible in this world. And that is why Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ لَا تَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ أَوْ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَحْدًا مِنْكُمْ لَا يَرَى رَبَّهُ حَتَّى يَمُوتُ. He said, know that none of you will see his Lord حتى يموت, until he dies. In this world, you can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went on al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, and he was asked, did you see your Lord? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Nurun, I saw light. Anna arahu, how am I going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which means, Ummul Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see Allah, his creator. He did not see him with his naked eyes in this world. Because when he was asked, he said, what? Nurun, it is light. Anna arahu, how am I going to see him? So he didn't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. he did not see ill. In authentic hadith, in Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari, and some of the Sunan, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep. And it does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sleep. In that stage, that the deeds of the day, يُرْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ عَمَلُ النَّهَارِ قَبْلَ عَمَلُ اللَّيْلِ وَيُرْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ عَمَلُ اللَّيْلِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ النَّهَارِ. The deeds of the day are taken to him before the deeds of the night, and the deeds of the night are taken to him before the deeds of the night, before the deeds of the day. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hijabu nur, hijabu nur." He said, "The screening Allah subhanahu wa taala from being seen is nur, is light. Law kashafahu, if he were to take off this screen, la ahraqat subhat wajhihi." مَنْ تَعِلَيْهِ بَصَرُوا مِنْ خَلْكِ. The glittering of his face, that is the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would burn مَنْ تَعِلَيْهِ بَصَرُوا مِنْ خَلْكِ. Whatever the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets to of his creation, he will burn it. This is what in this world. So it is not possible for any sight to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. It's not possible for any sight to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And that's why when the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when they said to him, لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهَرَةً, we will not believe in you until we see Allah جَهَرَةً publicly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now made himself appear to the mountain. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّنْ. And this is with respect to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said that what? رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكِ. Oh my Lord, let me see you. So لَنْ تَرَانِ, you can't see me. وَلَكِنْ أُنْظُرْ لِلْجَبَلِ, look at the mountain. In istaqarra makana, if the mountain remains the way it is, فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِ, then you see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّ لِلْجَبَلِ, when Allah appeared to the mountain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّ الْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّنْ, the mountain crumbled. فَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam fainted. So when the people also asked that they should see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also what? Fainted. I mean the people of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, they also fainted. So if Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, as great as he was, could not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, that means that nobody can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see Allah in this world. He didn't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And that's why when he was, I said, what? Nurun anna arahu. It was light. I could see. Anna arahu, I could have seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the real aqidah, or the right aqidah, that the Muslim must have. That in this world, any person that lays claim to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person is a Dajjal. Such a person is a Dajjal, is Kadzab. There are a lot of Sufi people who say what? They see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala riyanan, publicly. That is one-on-one. Some of them who said what? They had meetings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of rubbish that they will say. So see, that one takes what they are saying, or you take what you have in the Quran. If one takes what they are saying, one becomes a disbeliever in what is in the Quran. And if you take what is in the Quran, you are what? You are a disbeliever in what they are saying. So you cannot combine both. Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of wakefulness, there is something that is not possible in this world. It's not possible in this world. So all the claims laid by the deviant people, by the disbelievers, so to say, those who are claiming to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a claim not to be accepted by any Muslim. It's not to be accepted by any person who is upon the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this is against the path of our pious predecessors. This is not the way of our pious predecessors. Our pious predecessors, they believe that what? Nobody will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. So this is what? This is one. With respect to the day of Qiyamah, our own belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who follow the Quran, follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the path of the pious with the Caesars. Our own belief is that what? Allah is going to be seen on the day of Qiyamah by the believers. Allah is going to be seen on the day of Qiyamah by the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us among them. This is the aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. There are some innovators, some deviant groups who do not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be seen on the day of Qiyamah. These are the Jahmiyyah, the Rawafij, the Khawarij. The earliest Khawarij, their belief is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to be seen on the day of Qiyamah. Their belief is that nobody will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. This is the belief of the Jahmiyyah. This is the belief of the Mu'tazila. This is the belief of the Khawarij, the Shia. This is their belief that Allah is not going to be seen on the day of Qiyamah. Now, for those who believe that Allah is going to be seen on the day of Qiyamah, what is their evidence? Our evidence is what? Al-Kitabu wa Sunnah wa Ijma'u Salaf al-Ummah. The Quran, the Sunnah, and the consensus of the pious predecessors. This is what? This is the evidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وجون يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. That some faces on that day, إلى ربها ناظرة. So they will be bright. إلى ربها ناظرة. They will be looking at their Lord. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ. They will be looking at their Lord. Now when the Arabs, when they say نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ شَيْءٍ, it means in the Arabic language, I look at a thing. Or, I saw a thing. That is the meaning of what? نَظَرْتُ إِلَيْهِ. Like when the Prophet ﷺ told one of the companions who proposed to his sister, who proposed to a companion, a female companion, he said to him, Al nadarta ilayha, hal nadarta ilayha. Did you look at her? Fa inna fi a'yun al ansari shay'an. Because the Ansar, there is something in their eyes. So go and look at her where before what you conclude. He asked another companion, did you look at her? فَإِنَّهُ أَحْرَىٰ أَنْ يُعْدَمَ بَيْنَكُمَا. When you look at her, when you see her, this is what? what it called for you being together for long. So when you use the word nadhara ilayhi, it means what? He saw it or he looked at it. So this is the cleverness of the Quran. But these people, these innovators, they believe that this does not agree with the intellect. How can Allah the creator be seen? How can Allah the creator be seen? While they said, we have our own evidence in the Quran that Allah is not going to be seen on the day of Qiyamah. What is the evidence? They said, what لا تدركه الأبصار فهو يدرك الأبصار وهو اللطيف الخبير. لا تدركه الأبصار. They said, this is our evidence. But in the Arabic language, the word idrak is different from the word what? Nadhar. An idrak is to get something completely. When the Arabs say, adrak to shayta, mean what? You get that thing completely. La tudrikul absor, the sight cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. So there is a difference between what? Seeing something and what? Getting the detailed knowledge or having the detailed knowledge, information about a thing. All this is clear. So this is what the verse means in the Arabic language. And this is what nadhara means in the Arabic language. Nadhara ilayhi. The word nadhara without ilah in the Arabic language can mean expectation, to expect, as we have explained before. If I say nadhartuhu, it can mean what? I'm expecting or I expected him. Then when it is used with the word fi, nadhartu fihi, it means I pondered over it. But when it say nadhara ila, it means what? To look. How this is clear. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وُجُوءٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ. So which means what? They will see their Lord. And that's why some of the innovators, like the Mu'tazila also said, that okay, we agree with you that nadhara means to see. But what something should be added here. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. And that is what? إِلَىٰ نِعِمَةِ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. They will be looking at what? The bounty, the favor of their Lord. So they said what? We have to add something here. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ means إِلَىٰ نِعْمَةِ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. It's not that they will be looking at their Lord. Rather, they will be looking at the favors, the bounties of their Lord. So we have to add something there. But the question is, in the Arabic language, when I say, for instance, جَاءَ أَحْمَدْ, Ahmad came, are you going to say, the son of Ahmad came? Huh? If you ask to translate Ja'a Ahmad, which literally means what? Ahmad came. Now you want to translate it, will you say Ahmad's son came? Even in the English language, when they say Ahmad came, does that mean the son of Ahmad came? The answer is no. So we should not take it out of the literal meaning unless there is an evidence that says what? It is not Ahmad that came, it is what? The son of Ahmad. Now when we say, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ, they will be looking at their Lord. What is the factor making you to take it out of the literal meaning to the figurative meaning of what? Of now adding what? The favor of your Lord. When you say this, they will say what? La tudrikuhu al-absar. What is the meaning of la tudrikuhu al-absar? La tudrikuhu means what? To have the detailed knowledge about something. There is no contradiction between this. Apart from this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ala al-araiki yanzurun. They will be looking, Ala al-araiki, from the araik. Though this is not clear, it did not say what, they will be looking at their Lord. But it shows that what? They will be looking at something. So this one says what? Ila rabbiha nazira. They will be looking at their Lord clearly. Then we have a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explaining this. Like this, the verse, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً Those who do righteous deeds, who do good deeds, for them is what? الْحُسْنَى. There will be good reward. وَزِيَادَةً and ziyada. As contained in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إذا دخل أهل الجنة الجنة, when the people of الجنة enter الجنة, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, هل تريدون شيئا أزيدكم? Do you want me to ask something for you? When the people of الجنة, when they enter الجنة, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, do you want me to add something to your enjoyment, to this my favor upon you? Their response could be, أَلَمْ تُبَيِّدْ أُجُوَأَنَا? Oh Allah, haven't you brightened our faces? أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ? Haven't you made us enter الْجَنَّةِ? أَلَمْ تُنَجِّنَا مِنَ النَّارِ? Haven't you saved us from hell? What else do we want? We are okay with all this enjoyment that we can see. With all this enjoyment, we are okay. You have made us enter Jannah. You have saved us from hell. And you have brightened our faces. You have given us all sorts of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with them, make them see himself. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَيَكْشِفُ اللَّهُ الْحِجَابِ. Allah watch will take off the hijab. The screen that in this world, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوْ كَشَفَهُ, if you were to watch, to undo the screen, لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبْحَاتُ وَجْئِمَنْتَ إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُ. On the day of Qiyamah, this screen will watch lifted. And when it is lifted, will the people be born? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now make himself seen to these people, to the people of Al-Jannah. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا أُعْطُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They will not be given something more beloved to them than looking at their Lord. Than what? Looking at their Lord, seeing their Lord. You know, the people of Al-Jannah, they said, what else do we need? You have brightened our faces. You have made us enter Al-Jannah. You have saved us from hell. We don't need anything more. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them ziyada, addition. And that addition is going to be what? Al-Nadharu ila wajhihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what? This is what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, according to the explanation of the verse. Apart from this, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, when the companions, they asked him, this is in Sahih Muslim, likewise Sahih Bukhari and some other books, they said, Al-Nara Rabbana, are we going to see our Lord? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that هل تضامون في رؤية الشمس صحوا بالظهيرة ليس مع صحاب نم عند النون عند النون can you see the sun when it when the atmosphere is clear there is no clouds do you see the sun do you have any trouble seeing the sun do you struggle to see the sun the companions said la no we do not struggle to see the sun when the weather is okay when it is not cloudy we see the sun clearly He said, أَلْ تُضَامُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَةِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ Do you struggle? Do you see any trouble in seeing the moon when the moon is at the fullest? That is, when you are on a moonlit night. Do you have any problem seeing the moon? The companion said, لا. Messenger of Allah said, لا تضامون في رؤية ربكم إلا كما تضامون في رؤية أحدهما. You won't have any problem or any trouble seeing your Lord except the way you have what trouble or problem in seeing the sun and the moon. And since you don't have any problem seeing the sun and the moon, that means you won't have any problem seeing your Lord on the day of Qiyamah. You know, it's something that gladdens one to hear that the one you are worshipping in this world that you cannot see, on the day of Qiyamah, you are going to see that person or that one that you are worshipping. You see what? It's something that is gladdening to hear that, okay, the one you are worshipping and you can't see in this world, but you believe in him, you are going to see him on the day of Qiyamah. It's like when you have been hearing of a scholar, you have been listening to his lectures, you have been reading his books. Today you meet that scholar, one-on-one, will be one of your happiest days. This is something that you, I don't know if you have witnessed or you have observed something like this before, experienced it. When you have been reading about a scholar, you have been listening to his lecture, but you've not met him. When you meet him, it's like what? You have gotten something that is most pleasing to you. This is the way it appears. When we travel to Hajj at times and you meet some of these scholars that you've been reading their books, listening to their lectures, it will be a very happy day for you. You will not want to leave the city in the garden, trying to watch to benefit more from them. And that's why you see students of knowledge, when they have the opportunity of performing Hajj or Umrah, one of the things they want is for them to have meetings with the scholars. And that is what one of the benefits of performing Hajj or Umrah. When Allah said, لَيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ So that what they can witness, they can see their manafi, things that will be beneficial to them. This is part of it. Some people will be eager to perform Hajj just to because they know that a particular scholar is coming there. They want to use what? A stone to kill two birds. They want to get reward of performing Hajj at the same time. So, if this is what we do, or what we feel with respect to human beings like us, what about our Creator? And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَا أُعْطُوا شَيْئًا They will not be given something أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ عَذَ وَجَلْ They will not be given something better or more beloved to them than seeing their Lord. Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more beloved to them than having all the benefits in Al-Jannah, having all the enjoyments in Al-Jannah. Just seeing what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is enough. But despite the fact that we have this established in many verses, in verses of the Quran, in many ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people calling themselves Muslims, they say, what? No, you are not going to see your Lord on the day of Qiyamah. And that one of the scholars supplicated. He said, O Allah, I ask you to deny these people seeing you on the day of Qiyam, because they have what? They have negated seeing you. So, O Allah, punish them by not allowing them to see you on the day of Qiyam. Because if this is the best thing, the most appealing thing, the most pleasing thing, is for one to see one's Lord, and some people, as a result of what? As a result of ignorance, as a result of not being upon the path of the Salafus Salih, they said, no, you are not going to see your Lord. What are you going to do with this verse? They will interpret it in such a way that you agree with their wings and copies. What are you going to do with this hadith? They say, we don't believe in this hadith, because this hadith is hadith ahad. Why the ahadith are what? Mutawatir. Because a lot of companions reported that the believers will see their Lord. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah said, more than 50 companions reported this. Despite all this, that is what mutawatir. Some people are still saying, what? You are not going to see your Lord on the day of Qiyamah. So the believer, they are going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us among them. Now, as we said, those who are negating this, they are not on the path of the Salafu Salih. They are not on the path of the Salafu Salih, the pious predecessors. But they will claim that what they are following Al-Kitab and what? Sunnah. Just like the Ahmadiyya, for instance. The Ahmadiyya, when you ask them, they say what? You are following the Quran and the Sunnah. We believe in the Quran and the Sunnah. But these people, they said what? They said they believe in the Quran and the Sunnah. They don't believe that the Prophet Muhammad is the end of the prophets. There is no prophet after the Prophet Muhammad. They don't believe that. That there is no prophet after the Prophet Muhammad. And he said what? We believe in the Quran and the Sunnah. So when Inas showed them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين, that Muhammad is not the father of anyone of you, rather he is Rasulullah and is khatam nabiyyin, the seal of nabiyyun. He now start telling you the meaning of what? Of khatam. He say, yes, we believe that this verse is the verse of the Quran. Huh? So we don't have problem. It's a verse of the Quran. But what we are saying is that we do not believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the khatam al-nabiyyin, is the end of the prophets. We don't believe. But we have it here, khatam al-nabiyyin. He said, no. No. The word khatam there means what? It means ring. It means what? Ring. So, and when you say ring, ring beautifies somebody. So khatam al-nabiyyin, it means what? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifies all the prophets that have gone. Do they believe in the Quran or not? Huh? Do they believe in the Quran? They believed in the Quran. They believe in that verse. But they interpreted that verse in such a way that what? We agree with what they already have in mind. What they have in mind is that what? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the seal of the prophet, is not the last of the prophets. That is their belief. Now we have in the Quran khatamun nabiyyin, which can mean what? Which can mean ring, which can also mean what? The seal, the last. So the ninth interpreted it to be what? Ring. Why? Because that is their own aqidah. That is their own aqidah. So if you say you people do not believe in the Quran, we believe in the Quran. What are you going to say about this verse? We believe in this verse. But the issue is what? They do not believe in the meaning that you have what? That you have given to that verse. Now, how are you going to now tell them that what? Your own interpretation is the correct interpretation. And here is what? is a wrong interpretation. How? By bringing a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has spoken on that. When you now bring a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about that, so the ones that that does not agree with their belief, they say it's called a hadith ahad, for instance. Or the one they can interpret, they will interpret in such a way that you agree with what they already believe. How this is clear? Now, how are you going to tell them that what you have said is the right thing again? Understanding of the companions, that this is what the companions are what? Now, we have brought a hadith to you. You have knocked some of these hadiths away to say what? The hadith ahad. We have brought a hadith to you. You have interpreted this hadith to agree with what? With your whims and caprices. Now, okay, this is what the companions were upon. This is what all of them said on this matter. No disagreement among the companions on this matter. This is what? The consensus of the Salaf al-Salih. Then they tell you what? Who don't believe in those people. Whom rijal wa nanu rijal. They are men and we are also what? They are men. So, and Allah said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِكِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِي غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِّي مَا تَوَلَّ وَنُسْفِي جَهَنَّ وَصَأَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever contradicts the messenger, after guidance is clear to him, and he follows rather than the path of the believer, وَلِّي مَا تَوَلَّ, what he has chosen for himself, who abandoned him with that, وَنُسْفِي جَهَنَّمْ, I will cause him to enter Jahannam, وَصَأَتْ مَصِيرًا. That is what an evil abush. So, and that's why we should not distance ourselves from the Salaf al-Salih as far as what understanding this religion is concerned. But these are people that Allah said, what? رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. So, this is what the Ahmadiyya did. With respect to what? Believe in the jinn. You say, what? There are jinn. The Ahmadiyya, they do not believe in the existence of the jinn that you believe in. You don't believe what? In the existence of the jinn that you believe they exist in. But they recite the Quran. They recite what? The Quran. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word al-jinn in many places. They recited this. The surah was revealed called what? سورة الجن قل حي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا يأدي إلى الرشد. They recite this. When you say you don't believe in jinn, they say we believe in jinn, but not the type of jinn you believe in. What type of jinn do you believe in? They say jinn. The word jinn there is from what? It's from Jannah. And Jannah is for something to be eaten. So, Some will say what? Jinn here means what? The microorganisms. Some of them interpreted jinn to mean what? The noble people. So with this, they don't believe in what? The existence of jinn that what? We believe in. So if you say you don't believe in the Quran, they tell you we believe in the Quran. Now what is the way out now? You say what? What's the way out? You bring sunnah. So you, okay, a group of jinn met with the messenger of Allah. Is it a group of microorganisms? So, what will be their food? Messenger of Allah has talked about this. So they tell you, okay, this is what, this ahad. Because they already have what? They already have belief. And anything that disagrees with this belief, they will not accept it. And that's why we should be careful about things like this. Some people say, what? These are scientific facts. They scientifically established that human being came from what? From ape. He evolved from ape. Scientifically established. A statement of one person by a lot of riffraff also what? Followed him in what? In accepting, using that to watch, to knock away verses of the Quran.
When we ask clear verses, وَبَدَأَ خَلْقُ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ تِينِ Allah said the creation of man from tin, from dust, from clay. This is clear. Then somebody will tell you that what? No, no, no. You see somebody now say no, no, we have to respect what is science. As if, because the so-called science, there is no contradiction in what they say. As if that what? There is no contradiction in what the scientists say. When this one establishes something, another one will come and say what? And knock it off. That no, I disagree with you. This is not correct. And you see what? Rejoinder, counter, rejoinder, like that. Now a Muslim now takes a verse of the Quran or a hadith of the Prophet that is authentic, now knocks it off, basing his argument on something that maybe 20 years to come, 30 years to come, another person in the same field will come and say what? That is just mere hypothesis, it's not up to a theory. Like this theory of evolution. A lot of scientists now have said what? It is mere hypothesis, not up to a theory. Why some Muslims then had what? Had been disturbed, saying, how is it to interpret this verse of the Quran that you agree with what the scientific fact? This is where problem comes. Because when you see people putting their intellect, placing it before the text, that is, the intellect comes before the text, it is difficult for them to accept the text. If they have good opinion about the text, it's when they will say what? We are going to interpret the text in such a way that we agree with what? With what the intellect has what? Established. If they do not have good opinion at all, they'll say what? We don't believe in that text. And these are the people of innovation, they all practice. They throw away text. Like one that is saying that what? Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is not coming back. Somebody who cannot read. When you give him the Quran to translate, he can't translate. Unless he sees the one that is what? Translated. He makes himself a da'iyah, inviting people to watch. And one of the, if not the most important aspect to him of his da'wah, is to say what Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is not coming back. This is what is spreading everywhere he goes now. Prophet Isa is not coming back. When you now show him a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will tell you he doesn't believe in those ahadith. Ahadith in Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari, Sunnah Abi Dawud. Authentic ahadith that are mutawatira. He will tell you he doesn't believe in those ahadith. Why? He will say they contradict the Quran. They contradict the Quran. That's the reason he doesn't believe. Okay, which Quran does it contradict? He will say the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that what inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayya wa ja'ilu alladhina taba'uka fawqa alladhina kafaru ila yawm al-qiyamah, that inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka, I'm going to what? I'm going to do tawaffi of you. What is the meaning of mutawaffika? He interpreted mutawaffika to mean what? In name of Tawafika, to mean what? I'm going to take your life. I'm going to what? Kill you. I'm going to cause you to die. Even if you agree that that is the meaning of what? Mutawafika in the language. Tawafa also means to give somebody something full. To give somebody something full. If I say, for instance, Tawafaituhu haqqa, mean what? I gave him his right completely. That's one of the meaning of what? One of the meaning of tawaffa. Then tawaffa can also mean what? To what? To make somebody sleep. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is the one that what? Yatawaffakum billayl. Yatawaffakum billayl. Wa ya'lamu ma jarahtun bin nahar. Is the one that what? That caused you to die at night? Is that the meaning? It's a word far from believing that anyone who causes you to sleep at night. This is one of the meaning of what? Tawaffa. Now, what differentiates this interpretation of ours from the interpretation of the Mu'tazila, who interpreted Naziratun ila Rabbi Anazira, who interpreted it that way? What? Who can tell us? Now. Jazakallahu khairan. We have companions, not only companions, we have a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us about the coming back of Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So, which means this ahadith are corroborating one of the meanings of what? Of tawaffa. Which is what? So which would be what? Now we have to look at which one is the corroborating now. Now when we look at the hadith, we look these ahadith are establishing that what? Prophet Isa is coming back. Now we now look at the verse. Inni mutawafika wa rafi'uka ilayya. Inni mutawafika wa rafi'uka ilayya. Waw ye is waw al-atf. Is waw al-atf, the waw of conjunction. When the waw is used, it does not mean that what this comes before this. If I say, for instance, Ja'ani Zaydun wa Ahmad. Ja'ani Zaydun wa Ahmad. Who came first? Huh? Ja'ani Zaydun wa Ahmad. Who came first? Huh? Zayd came first. Where did you get that? Word here does not mean one happened before the other. Ja'ani Zaydun wa Ahmad. It can mean Ahmad came before Zayd. If I say what? Sharibt al-ma'a wa shaya. I drank water and what? Tea. Which one did I drink first? Huh? I drank water and tea. Which one did I drink first? Can't it be tea? It can be tea. It can be water. So inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayya. Inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayya. I'm going to what? Cause you to die. And what? I'm going to raise you up. Which one is coming first? Is he causing him to die or raising him up first? Which one is coming first? Huh? Any one of them can watch. So which means what? It can mean that Allah is going to watch. Allah is going to take his soul. Then when he's dead and people are seeing him on the ground, then maybe something will just come and watch, take him off. It can mean that. And it can mean that what Allah is going to watch, raise him up, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later will take watch his life. Now why we now have a hadith of the Messenger of Allah talking about what? Coming back of Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and dying after that. Which one are we going to take? Does that or those ahadith, do they contradict what is in the Quran? The hadith, do they contradict what in Nimu Tawafika wa Rafi'uka ilayya? Now we have that Allah has raised him up now. So it means what? Taking his soul. So what this ignorant man is saying, what Allah is going to take, is going to take his soul. So then there is nothing like what is going off. Then what is the meaning of what Rafi'uka ilayya? Then what are we going to do with all these ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So this ignorant man says what? They contradict verse of the Quran. Then who are you? The one does not understand the Arabic language is now making himself as what? A da'iyah. And the riffraffs are also what? Following in. And this is the way you differentiate between the way of the Salafus Salih. When there is a verse in the Quran or there is a hadith that can mean this. Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah, they will leave it like that. But when they see evidences, maybe from a hadith of the Prophet or something, saying it is this is what it means, then they stand to that. They stick to that. All this is clear. So this is the way Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah, this is the way they take the aqidah. What the Prophet and his companions are upon. Because Allah said in the Quran that فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. Those who have disease in their hearts, they follow what? مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ.
things that are what? Mutashabiha. Ibtigha al-fitnati wa ibtigha ta'wili. Ibtigha al-fitna, because they want to cause fitna. Wa ibtigha ta'wili, because they want to do the ta'wil. Wa ma ya'lamu ta'wilahu illa Allah. Wa rasikhuna fil ilmi yaquluna amanna. So, this is what we should understand when we have what a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deed of the Salafus Salih upon something. This is what is enough for us as a belief. But for you to have belief first, then you now start looking for how you interpret the verses of the Quran, or you start looking for how you interpret a hadith of the Messenger of Allah, to justify your own belief or your own thinking. Your own thinking that you can't say is what? Is the absolute truth. Because some people will tell you that what this your thinking is also what? We do not agree with your thinking. Let's leave what verses of the Quran and Hadith, let's leave them what aside. Let's talk about what you now, you think of something that this is really something, the thing is. You see somebody who tell you that, I disagree with you. Now you are tackling what? You are tackling one another or each other with what? With thinking, with reason. So, when somebody now gives precedence to his thinking above the text of the Quran, above the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, above the Ijma of the Salafus Salih, then there is a problem. There is a big problem. Now, let me ask this question. If we want to tackle these people with what? With reasoning, the way they want their reasoning, they cannot outdo us. Why? Now, we all agree that our sin has limitation. Is that correct? There is limit to your sin. You can see everything. Do you know everything? Huh? So there is limit to your knowledge, limit to your sin. There is limit to your hearing. You can't hear everything. Right now, people are making noise in America. You can't hear. How can you hear it? America is too far. Across the road, people are making noise there. Can you hear the noise here? But those small kids are making noise. Can you hear their noise? Yes. But some people are making noise far distance. You can't hear the noise. So there is limit to your what? To your hearing. Limit. There is limit to your seeing. Limit to what? Definitely there is limit to your what? Your intellect. There are some things that are above your intellect. When they say it, you cannot watch. But they say them, you can't comprehend them. So you have to submit, particularly when these things are coming from your Creator. When Karl Marx, whose thinking, whose intellect had what? Limit. When he felt that what? He could not understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the existence of Allah. He said what? There is no God. When he saw that what there is limit to what he could see, he said, it's only what you can see who believe in. So they call themselves the materialists. Now the scientists, they believe in a lot of things today that they cannot see. They can't see the electron, they can't see a lot of things, but they believe this thing exists. So they contradicted themselves. It's just like a professor who was making jests, who was ridiculing the Muslims, ridiculing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He now called a small boy or one of the students, he called him and was saying, okay, you can't see your Lord, you can't see. So, and people were laughing, the students, the other students were laughing as the professor was making jests of. The small boy now said, what? Class, have you ever seen the intellect of the professor? The class said no. Said no, the professor does not have sense. Now yes, they believe what? Professor has what? Intellect, he has sense. But since they've not seen the sense of the professor, we can't see it. We don't believe that what? We have sense, we have intellect. I've not seen the intellect before. So the conclusion is that what? The professor has no sense, no intellect. And the man became what? Came dumbfounded. He couldn't say anything more. So somebody who sticks to the Sunnah, if somebody wants to tackle him with reasoning,
a word to supersede that person in reason, because it is the Sunnah, it is the Quran that is based on reasoning. That is what that is, and that's why they will say, "An-naqlu as-sahih," authentic text, "la yu'arij al-aql as-sahih." It does not go against the what, the right sense. Because not the thinking of everybody's what is right. These small boys, they have what? They have their own thinking. You have your own thinking as fathers. So you may be looking at things different way. What they feel, that this thing is good for me. You think that what? It's not good for them. So they have their own sense, and you have your own sense. So which one is going to watch? Is going to succumb for the other, your own or theirs. So why is it that people do not benefit from their senses? So you already know that what you are seeing, your sight has limitation, your hearing has limitation. Everything you has what? Limitation. Your power has limitation. Is there a doctor that can make somebody not to die yet? Huh? They have that power. Somebody wants to die. Is there any doctor? The best doctor in the world cannot. The one who is dying, they can't make him not to die. So that means there is limitation towards the power that you have. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Is Al-Qadir. It's Al-Awwal. Allah is number one in everything. In power, number one. In sin, number one. In everything, all the qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outdo man din. In everything. So, and that's why when he speaks, we should submit ourselves to what? To the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now try to watch, knock it off with our imperfect sense. So what we are trying to say in essence is that watch, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, their belief is that watch, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection will be seen by the believers. Will the kuffar see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection? The munafiqun, will they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection? They will see Allah, the munafiqun, will see Allah on the day of resurrection, but later they will be prevented from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ They will be prevented, screened from their Lord. But according to the hadith of Abu Sayyid Khudri and some other hadith, they will be allowed to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first instance. When Allah will appear, I will say everybody worshipping other than Allah should follow what they are worshipping. So those who are worshipping stones, trees, they watch, they will go one side and they will all fall in hellfire. Now it remains the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, the munafiqun. Then Allah will appear and will say to the Christians, Allah will say, who are you worshipping? They will say, what? We are worshipping. The Jews will say, we are worshipping Uzair, the son of Allah. Allah will say, what? Kazabtum. You have told a liar. Allah has no son. You are worshipping Uzair, so go and meet the one you are worshipping. And they will be going. They will say, what? They are thirsty. We want to drink. Allah will say, go there. As they are going, they will be falling in what? In Jahannam. The Christians, a similar thing. They will be falling into Jahannam like that. They will remain the believers and the munafiqun. No, the believers in this world, they are treated as what? Muslims. Because this is what we see. They pray as we pray. They do all this, all we do. But inside them, They do not believe in Allah. They do not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what? Nifaq. When somebody says other than what is inside him, this is what? Nifaq. And that's why nifaq is defined as what? Izhar khilafi ma yubtinu al-mar. For somebody to what? Display something contrary to what he has in his mind. For deen, as far as what religion is concerned, this is what? Nifaq. So those people, they what? Display iman, but truly they are abhorring kufr. So they are treated as Muslims in this world. But in the Qiyamah, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. So they also, they will be thrown into hell. Then the believers, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala في عرصات القيامة. In the عرصات القيامة, in the courtyard of Al-Qiyamah, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they will be asked to be going. But as they are going, passing through the sirat, some people will fall among the believers in hell because they have one sin or the other they have committed. And those people watch, they will be taken out of hell later. Based on the shafa'a of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because they have tawheed in them. But they will be made to suffer some of the evil deeds that they've done before they will watch, be admitted into Al-Jannah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about some people, how people will pass through the sirat. Some people will pass like the lightning. Some people will pass crawling. Some people will pass like a very fast horse, and so on and so forth. It depends on what the level of the iman of. Some people will fall inside, but later they will come out of what, because they have what. Iman in them. So we should believe that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be seen on the day of Qiyamah based on these authentic ahadith that are mutawatir. A lot of companions reported it. It is mutawatir like that. And that's why those innovators who believe that Allah is not going to be seen on the day of Qiyamah, like the Mu'tazila, like the Shia, the Khawarij, the Jahmiyyah generally, so they are upon the wrong aqidah as far as this issue is concerned. In fact, some scholars, they make takfir of them based on this, because you have clear evidences. You are only being ta'wil to suit your watch heresies. So as for the Ashaira, concerning seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, they believe we see Allah on the day of Qiyamah. The Maturidi also believe the believers will see Allah on the day of Qiyamah. But why did they establish in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the Ashaira, the common aqidah with them with respect to Allah being off, is that Allah is not off. Allah is what? Everywhere. It is essence now. That is their belief. That Allah is every, Allah is not what? Off. Now, with what did they establish the sight, the thing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With what? And that's why scholars say there is contradiction in what? In your position. Because for something to be seen by everybody, it means that thing would what? Huh? It would be above. Now you can see the comer, you can see the sun. This isn't because what? The sun is what? Above. If I raise my head up, I can see everybody. 1 million people raise their head, everybody, because the sun is what? Above. The moon is what? It's above. So if people are going to see Allah on the day of Qiyamah, that means what? Allah is above. Now we are not using the reason only. This is because we have what? We have text that already established that what? Allah is what? Above. And that's why we said the other time that some of the scholars also made takfir of those who do not believe in what? Al-uluwa of Allah, that Allah is above in his essence. Why? Because we have a lot of verses establishing this. We have a lot of hadith establishing it. But why are they running away from establishing this? They believe this does not agree with the intel. How can Allah be the up? When you say Allah is up, you are what? Restricting Allah to a particular place. Then where should Allah be? They said, Allah should be what? Everywhere. Some of them said, no, Allah should not be everywhere. So Allah is not up, it's not down, it's not in front, it's not back, it's not... So when you ask, so what, describe something that doesn't exist, can it be described better than this? Something that doesn't exist. And that's why we say reasoning. When you reason, another reason what will contradict your own reasoning. So how can you tell me that your own reasoning is what? Is better than mine. And you want me to accept it from you. Somebody is in full hijab, putting on hijab. And somebody is what? Is dressing half naked. And that person dressing half naked believes that what? She is what? She is more enlightened, more civilized than somebody who is dressing what? With full hijab. With what intellect? What tells you that what? You are more civilized than this. So, and that's why things that you watch, you will hold in high esteem that you value. Somebody may say, watch, this is nonsense. And that's why the deen is here to regulate our watch, our actions and thinking. If not for the deen, then there will not be any regulation in the world. Because what you detest and you hate, somebody can die for that thing. Somebody can die for that thing. So and that means what? Our reasoning should be what? Should be in accordance with the text. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. May subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on his path. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. نعم. نعم. دين. بيج ميكين. Okay. Alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala Rasulullah. If it is for a decoration for beautification by the women and it is not exposed the way in a way that Sharia is against, then there is nothing wrong with it, Allah. As long as something that is haram is not engaged in the displaying of those items, there is nothing wrong with it. If something haram is not involved, you know, some people when they want to display some things, maybe they will use the what is it called? Statue to do that. So maybe a woman with a breast, with a, just they use that cloth. And they put the cloth to show that what the cloth is okay. So when they take that thing off, it remains this evil thing that is put down. So things like that should not be used. Allahu Alam. That you wanted to. What I'm trying to say is that what is the meaning of that?
No, it's not. It's not compulsory that he takes it back. Eh? Or what do you mean? You want to pay. And the friend said what? This is an act of kindness between both of them. There is nothing wrong with that. Okay. Okay, who can comment on this? Based on what you have learned together, who can comment on that? Now. Yes, since it was not stipulated from inception, so it doesn't fall under riba. Doesn't fall under riba. If they have agreed that, okay, I'm going to lend you my car on condition that what? You fix this. Then that would be what? Kullu qardin jarra naf'an fa huwa riba. But if the person just did it without having an agreement with him, then there is nothing wrong in this. Who can give us an evidence for this? No, that is a statement. Okay, that whoever the best of you is the one who is best in what and paying back. Now, that's an evidence. But there is a practice of the Messenger of Allah that led to that statement. Okay. Okay, jazakallah. Now that is what led to what you have said. So, and that is where the principle of what known stipulation, so to say, came in. Do you get it? Because Messenger of Allah did not agree with the man from inception that what I'm going to give you something better. It was one is unable to find something that is equal to that, or that was equal to it, that what he gave him something better. And he said what? The best of you is what? Ahsanukum qada'an. He's the one who is best in paying back. So, alhamdulillah. Now. Huh? The best day of the Prophet of Allah. Well, this is an issue that has been discussed several times, and almost everybody here understands it. So even in fact, in the mosque, I don't talk about it anymore, because it's like, watch, you are overflogging the matter. Anyone who wants to do his self-desire will partake in that. This has been explained and explained and explained. So Messenger of Allah never celebrated his birthday. So rather, what he did is that he will fast on Monday. And when he was asked, he told them the reason why he will fast on Monday. Not because he was born on Monday alone, he was raised as a messenger. And this is what the companions will also emulate, if at all they want to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he never said that you are celebrating the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, you see them fasting on Monday because he saw the Messenger of Allah fasting. But for the fact that people cannot do this, then they prefer to fashion another way of saying that what they love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is what his first claim. Because if truly you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la ta'ata, you obey him. So did he say what one should celebrate his birthday? Where did he say that? You can't find any place. So most of the people who are championing the celebration of the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the most distant people from his path. When you tell them this is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, they say, no, you are too rigid, they don't want to
But they want to establish what they fashion. So, and that's why there is contradiction. One of our friends once said that he attended a gathering, and somebody was a Sufi man and said, you see, these people do not love the Prophet of Allah, they don't celebrate his birthday. It's only somebody who does not love the Prophet that will not celebrate his birthday. So some people are shaking their head when he says that, it's true. So when this Malam Nagot, when it was his time to speak, he said, somebody that Messenger of Allah said we should go away from so and so, he went away from it. Go away from this, he goes away from it. Do this, he does this. Does a person love Messenger of Allah? People say, he loves him now. If he doesn't love him, he will not be doing all this. He will not be going away from things that... Now let us go to the one who does not celebrate his birthday. Now, Abu Bakr did not celebrate his birthday. Umar did not celebrate his birthday. Uthman did not celebrate his... Ali did not celebrate. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad. In fact, these people did not... So it's only somebody who does not love the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that will not celebrate his birthday. All these people did not celebrate his birthday, so they did not love the Prophet Muhammad. People said, no. So it was the people who had earlier shaking their heads that, no, this is nonsense. So, and watch, the people, they came back to their senses that, no, somebody, because of celebration of birthday, now you say somebody doesn't love the Messenger of Allah, somebody loves Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because he celebrates birthday, even if he doesn't obey all orders of the Messenger of Allah, because he celebrates birthday, that shows his love. Because this one does not celebrate birthday, which all the companions did not do, which the Aimma did not do, because he doesn't celebrate birthday, but he does everything done by the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, things done by the companions, he did them, he now say what, he doesn't love the Messenger of Allah. So this is what? Nonsense. So when you look at the origin of this Mawlid Nabi, this was traced back to the Ubaydiyun. The Ubaydiyun, the consensus of scholars is that what? They are kuffar. Because these are people who did not believe in what the Muslims were really practicing. So they introduced the celebration of the Mawlid of the Prophet Islam in order to what? In order to get the support of the Muslims. When they were what? When they were ruling. So they introduced this to get the support of the Muslims. And this was in around 3-something. So by 5-something, this act of celebrating the birth of the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had become something embraced and accepted by some of the rulers then. So during the time of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, this had become what? Commonplace. So he promoted it. Before him, al-Malik al-Muzaffar al-Kukuburi supported this, and it was one that more launches and what it will spend on it tremendously. So this is something, alhamdulillah, the awareness is spreading. People are coming to know the truth. As one of the imams said, we are going to celebrate what we are using to get money that we have tied to the leg of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mulidity, I'm having both as Sumana Bilay, let's say. So, because he himself was convinced that, you know, this thing had no, there's only that we are making money from this. Wallahu Alam. Okay. Yeah, it's correct. Because that thing, he didn't leave it because of Allah. He left it because he was powerless. Huh? Because he was powerless, he made attempt towards to do it. He made all attempts to do it, but because he was powerless, they couldn't get it done. So this will be recorded against him. But if he wanted to do it, he now have what? He has a rethink. How that this Allah will punish me if I do this? So he has left this because of what? Because of Allah. He will be rewarded for that. There is contradiction in that. Somebody is making attempt to do something, but because he's unable to say what, Alhamdulillah, I don't think that we are you with me? Somebody wants to make zina with somebody, and he makes all attempt to do it, spending, visitation and things like that, but he was unable to get this thing done. Will that person say, Alhamdulillah, I don't think that we are. In fact, he'll be angry that he's unable to do that thing. Somebody will say, Alhamdulillah, Olorun ti gbadura mi. Will be somebody that is what? Regretting that action. He himself is not interested in doing that thing. He's not interested in what? In doing it. He doesn't like what? Doing that thing. But somebody who wants to do something, he has the determination of doing it. It's not successful, so he doesn't have any regret. If he's successful, he'll be happy. And you want that such a person to go scot-free because he's not successful. If he has been successful, he would not have shown any regret. So the fact that he's not successful, it will be written against him. So this is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay. Now, can you invite people when you memorize the Quran? Can you do alima for memorization of the Quran? Now, this is not age. It's not age. Aid is what is not permissible. Walima is permissible because it is not what? Aid. You build a house, you want to call your friend to eat, permissible. You memorize the Quran, you want to call people to eat, permissible. You write a book, you finish writing it, you want to call people to eat, permissible. This is not what? Aid. It's not something that is repeating itself on a particular thing, for a particular person, yearly or monthly or weekly or biannually. So when it is like that, it becomes what? Rich. So and that's why the Salafu Sali, they do not see anything wrong in you inviting people for food. Even when you do not have anything tangible that maybe you memorize this, you do this. You can call people for food. This is called what? Maduba. A companion may invite the messenger of Allah to come and eat and invite some other people. They will go to his house and watch. They will eat. And we know some of this hadith where somebody invited the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to eat. And the messenger of Allah said, watch, wa Aisha. So I want you to invite Aisha. The man said, no. And the Messenger of Allah said, if you invite Aisha, I'll come. If you don't invite her, I'm not coming. And the man said, okay, I'm inviting Aisha as well. So not that the man was celebrating or doing one thing important, but he just felt like what? Inviting the Messenger of Allah to eat in his house. A man had invited Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said what? I wanted 5 people to come and eat in my house. So an imam was with the Messenger of Allah when they were going. So
So when they got to the house of the man, the Messenger of Allah said, "You invited us five, but this man followed us. So if you want to allow him now, you're free. If you don't want to allow him, you go back." And he said, "Okay, I invite him." So there is nothing wrong in this. No talk of when something good or something pleasant now happens to one. So there is nothing wrong in this. This doesn't fall under hajj. Now this is not applicable to bad day, because bad day is what? So it's hajj, wallahu alam. No. Okay. Now, if it has to do with age, it's the same thing. But if it is not age, when you say annual, what do you mean by annual? Is it something that happens on the same day? Huh? If it's, this is like age. Why is something that, okay, once in a year you meet in your family, so it may be what, March this year, maybe April next year, maybe just let us be meeting once in a year. So this is not eight, wallahu alam. When the adhan is on, you don't make what? It's better you don't make nafila, you respond to the adhan. That is when you have not started your nafila when the adhan is on. But when you started your nafila, you won't break your nafila. You continue with your nafila. The same thing. There is no any exception, because what is applicable to the adhan of Jummah is also applicable to, what is applicable to the Jummah day is applicable to other days. When any one of you enters the mosque, falayajis hatta yusalliya raka'atayn, you shouldn't sit until he prays two raka. So this is general. So when I now enter the masjid on the day of Jummah, can I, because the khutbah is on, now stop what? Observing these two nafila. That Messenger of Allah said what? I shouldn't sit until I observe. The Malikiyah, they have the opinion that you stop it. Why? Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا قُلْتَ لِصَحِبِكَ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْتُبْ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ صَافَ فَقَدْ لَغَوْتُ. When you tell your friend who is making a kind of disturbance that keep quiet while the khutbah is on the day of Jum'ah, you have what? Committed error. So based on this, and the hadith of Sulayt al-Ghadafani, that when he entered the masjid, he was trembling on people. Messenger of Allah said, "What? Ageless, sit down, faqad awaitannas." You have watched. So they use this as evidence that one should not observe nafila when the khutbah is on. But there is a clear hadith that when you enter the masjid, yawm al-jum'ah, on the day of Jum'ah, while imamu yakhtub, and the khutbah is what? On. He said, the person fala yajlis, he shouldn't sit. Hatta yusalliya raka'atayn, until he prays two raka'at. Wa liyatajawwaz fi ima, he should make them snappy. So this hadith clearly says that what? Even if it is on the day of what? Jum'ah. And that's why tahiyyat al-masjid, whether Jum'ah or no Jum'ah, is something to be observed. So there is no any text differentiating that of the Jum'ah. So when the adhan is now on, so ordinarily when you enter the masjid and the adhan is on any day, it is preferred you listen to the adhan, because you can watch, you can get two benefits. When you finish the adhan, you can still pray what? Tahiyyat al-masjid. Because what the text says is that you shouldn't sit. So you remain standing, responding to the adhan. So when you respond, after you have finished responding to the adhan, you now watch, pray tahiyyat al-masjid before sitting. Wallahu alam. Huh? go against them out. You are not the only one in Nigeria. When the one who employed you to work said, you shouldn't come on that day, so what? You go. When you go against them, they won't listen to you. They take, for instance, not allow for a lot of people working there, Muslim, Christian. So when the Muslims say, no, we don't support that, you mean? So will the government listen to them? So they won't listen to them. So if he goes there, no work for him. So he remain what? In his house. Not because he's interested in what? That public holiday. But because when he goes, no work. So, and there is no way he can watch. That is the employer. The employer said, what? Don't come to work on this day. So there is no harm when you not go to work on that day. But where the problem lies is that there are some things that the Muslims, we can correct ourselves. But we also take to their way of life. I don't see the reason why the Muslim school will be having public holiday on these days that you can avoid. So this watch is a thought-provoking issue. Ahlu Sunnah school, for instance, will be giving people holiday on Maulid Nabi Day. And you say Ahlu Sunnah school, and you are giving them what? It's not Fajr that is imposing anything on you, right? Huh? I disagree with you. There are a lot of schools here in Lagos here that do not work in line with what in what the... No. There are private schools who do not work, who do not work like that. It's not... if it is a must, then that's a different case. But if they have not imposed it on you, then... Do you all vacate the same day? Abu Salam, respond to this. Some schools are vacated before the government school. And they will resume before the government school. No, they are still doing it now. No. But schools now, private schools, a lot of private schools, they are still what? They are not vacating with them and not resuming with them. I know this. But people are not still abiding by it. But I don't think that is correct. Maybe the court is trying to justify if following what the government is doing. Huh? No, if there is penalty, that's a different case. But the issue is if there is no penalty. When you say, take for instance, it doesn't make sense. I say I don't believe in Maulid Nabi. And I'm giving my students or my pupils all day on the day of Maulid Nabi. So those people, they will be laughing at us. No, I'm saying is this, right? The school is established up here. We said people should watch. The students should come or the pupils should come. So the funny thing is that most of the Sunnah brothers who have children here, they don't even bring their children on that very day. So the teacher only came and they discussed and what? They left. So when you now say, okay, Maulid Nabi is bigger, and you are the one also what? Giving holiday of Maulid Nabi. So they'll be laughing at you. Olibidiani, Olibidiani. So you now tell them that they impose it on you. Who imposed it on you? So this is the area I'm talking about, that you have to look. Is this imposed? Or something that was. You are talking about the one that is compulsory. I'm working with government now.
there is limit to what I can do. But I'm on my own. There are a lot of things I can get away with. So if there are rules for me to get away with those things, why am I hiding under the government? Even what the government has not imposed, I'm claiming that the government has imposed it in order to justify my heresy. So, and this is the issue I'm talking about. If there is imposed, that there is going to be penalty for anybody who doesn't, no, nobody is tackling that. Wallahu alam. No. The employed. Any work that you get that will not allow you as males to perform Jumu'ah, so such work should be left. So that's not a job for a Muslim. No. Those who are sewing clothes. One should not wa ta'awun al-birr wa taqwa wa la ta'awun al-ithm al-udwan. Where you tell us somebody wants to sew a cloth that is not Islamic, that is not okay Islamically, you should not assist in sewing such. You should not assist in sewing such. And that's why in Mecca or Haram, if somebody goes to the barbers, and you say you want to shave your beard, they will say no. Those people, they are not, it's not that what they are that devout, upright to, but they know if they do that, maybe they are risking something. So they won't do it, they won't shave beards for people, particularly within the haram. They won't do that because they are afraid of what the penalty that will be imposed on them for doing that. Maybe they may be prevented from babbing within that vicinity. Maybe they may be punished with some other things. So maybe somebody comes to you now and you know that this is the way the person will be going out with what she has come to sew. And you know that is wrong Islamically. If you know that she's going to wear it at home, maybe before her husband and as a different thing. But if you know this is the way they dress, you should not assist them with things like that. Allah. You will see Allah in the first instance, but later they will be prevented from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But initially they will be allowed to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is in the Arasot, in the plane of Al-Qiyamah. But in Al-Jannah they will not see Allah. It is only the believers that will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wa ta'ala. You mean the kuffar? Yes. He, on the day of resurrection, there will be stages of things. So, just like Allah said, what? Al-yawma naqtimu ala afwahihim wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjulu bima kanu yaksubun.
So their mouth will be sealed on that day. But they will still be talking. At a particular point, they will talk, they will speak. They will ask, they will tell their feet, Limash Itum Alayna, what have you borne witness against us? They will say what? Antaqana Allahu Lari Antaqa Kulla Shay. It's Allah who has caused everything to talk that has what? Made of talk. They will ask their bodies, their limbs. And Allah also said what? Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim. So and that's why at a point, they will not be allowed to talk. At a point, they will what? They will be allowed to talk. So at a point, they will not see. At a point, they will see. But they will be raised as what? Blind. They will be raised as blind. Allahu a'lam. That you are just trying to say all I've said. Now, Brother Shakur, he has given you one evidence. Have you seen the evidence? Two people are fighting. So, and one dies, one kills the other, and both of them are going to hell. What the Messenger of Allah said? Said, Innahu arada qatla sahibi. He also what? Intended killing his partner. Is that clear? So what can you say about that? No, there is no contradiction. What the problem is that we are confusing two things. Al-irada to ghayrul irada. The two intentions, they differ. There is intention. You know, your intention is what? It's action on its own, you know. Al-irada to jazima ma'al kudra. Scholars will say this. Al-irada to jazima ma'al kudra. So when you have the intention of doing something and you have the ability to do it and what you are working towards doing it, you are acting. That's an action. It's like your tawakkul, your reliance. It's like what? It's like your mahabba, your love. You know, the love you have is what? It's an action of the act.
The tawakkul, reliance on Allah, is what? Is an action of the act. So when you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what? An action. So when you have the intention that is jazima, decisive, to do something, and what, you put in effort to do that thing, but you did not achieve what you want to achieve, you have done an act. Is that clear? So, the fact is what, you did not achieve, but what? You acted. Is it clear? Like somebody who wants a child now and he gets married. He has what? Intercourse with his wife, and there is no what? No pregnancy. Has he acted or not? So are we going to say until he has a child, that is when he has acted? No. Somebody fighting with another person, and they are using bottle, stick, everything, eating themselves, eh? Things that he knows he cannot kill this person, is using it. The other person now kills him, you now say what? He has intention. Or he did not, since he did not kill that person, he should not be punished. No, you know, arada qatla sahibi. His intention is to kill his person. He put effort, only that what? He did not succeed. So it's not your success that is interesting, or that is that matters. It is your act that matters. So when you have intention in your mind and you have made efforts to achieve this thing, but you did not achieve it, you're still going to do what? You are going to be rewarded for that. You are going to be rewarded for that. Somebody who intends doing good, he puts all effort, but he did not succeed, he will be rewarded. Somebody who intends evil, he puts all effort, but he did not succeed, he will be what? Rewarded with evil for that. So it's an action. It's an action. But somebody who now does evil, who intends doing evil, but he has what? He rethinks and he does over. So since he did not do it, and you have turned away from doing it, it's different from the one who has not turned away, but is prevented by something else, not with tawbah. So we shouldn't mix up the two. Is it clear? Did he drink it? Did he want to drink it? So your question should be, with that person you punished for going with the friend to the party? Yes, you'll be punished for that. But you will not be punished for not for drinking because you did not drink it. In fact, you did not have the intention of what? Drinking it. But you'll be punished for what? You know what Allah says? وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابَ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. Don't sit with them. Don't sit with them. So sitting with them is something that is what? That will also fetch one punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when you are not going to join them in doing what they are doing. For the fact that you sit with them where they are doing that, so you also have the same reward with them, the same punishment with them.
Now, so how selfish I am, he makes a salah. Now, I have to go.
like maybe one who went back, it's not that what he was prevented from doing it. He has what? Tawbah. So the first person has no tawbah. In fact, he will not be happy for not achieving his what? His goal. So his intention is what? Gazima, a decisive one. Only that he was overpowered by the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he couldn't do it. So how do you want to free such a person from that intention? You can't free him. No. Oof. The Muslim will starve to death. The punishment of the alcohol that he has taken is abandonment of salah is awaiting him, except if Allah forgives him. Now the fact that what is killed by people who take his life, so those people they also what they bear their own sin, they have their own sin. So this has its own sin, this has its own sin. Allahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. Before that, please next week let us come early. We come late.